Today's daf is Brachas Daf Gimel, and we are four lines from the top of Daf Gimel Amir Aleph Ad Soifa Shmura. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza. So the first Mishnah in Talmud Bavli discusses the halachis of Kriyashma, specifically Kriyashma Shel Arvis, more specifically the Zman of Kriyashma Shel Arvis. And the Mishnah said, Me emasai koyrin eshma ba'arvin, mishosha koyhanim nichnasin lecho b'trumasim. So the earliest that you can recite Kriyashma Shel Arvis is the time that the koyhanim that were tamei become tahar and are now able to eat truma again, which the Brisa defined as tzei sakei chavim. What's the latest time that you could say Kriyashma Shel Arvis? So the Mishnah had three shitas. The first shita was shitas Rabbi Eliezer, who said ad soifa shmura rishayna. The chachavim said up until chatzos, and Rabbi Gamliel said ad sheyal amud hashachar. In other words, the entire night. The Gemara is going to begin its discussion of these three shitas, which with discussing the first shita mentioned in the Mishnah, and that is shitas Rabbi Eliezer, who said ad soifa shmura rishayna. So the Gemara, Mikas of Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer hold? Ikas of a shalosh mishmar. We're going to see that there's a machlokes tanoim, whether the night is divided into three mishmaros or the night is divided into four mishmaros. So, Freit the Gemara, if Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that the night is divided into three mishmaros, if the night is 12 hours and it's divided into three mishmaros, that means each mishmar is made up of 4 hours. So, lema ad arba shos. So, if Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is ad soifa shmura rishayna, that's just a fancier way of saying 4 hours. So let Rabbi Eliezer simply say ad arba shoyes. Why are we complicating this? Because of arba mishmaros havei laylo. And if Rabbi Eliezer holds the night is divided into four mishmaros, which means again, if the night is 12 hours, four mishmaros, each mishmar is 3 hours. So lema ad shoyes shoyes. So why did Rabbi Eliezer simply say that you could say kriyishma up until 3 hours in the night? Well, Olam says the Gemara kasav shalosh mishmaros havei laylo. Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is that the night is divided into three mishmaros. Akum hashmalon. So why did the Mishnah not simply say ad arba shoyes? Because the Mishnah b'derech agav wanted to teach me something, and that is the ikum mishmaros birakia, the ikum mishmaros ba'ara. That there are mishmaros birakia in Shemayim, and there's a way of knowing here on this world what when exactly those mishmaros are. The Tanya, as we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Eliezer said shalosh mishmaros havi alayv. The night is divided into three mishmaros. V'kol mishmar mishmar yesh v'kodesh baruch hu v'shoya kari. And during each mishmar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits kaviyachol and he roars like a lion. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hashem mimorim yishag u'mimayin kotcha yiten koyloi shoy yishag al noveyo. How do you know from this pasuk that Gimel Mishmaros Havi Alayla, says Rashi? Because there's three references to roaring, and Hashem roars like a lion during each mishmar. That's how you know Sholosh Mishmaros Havi Alayla. Similar davar, and Eliezer continued and said, there's a way on this world to know when exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is roaring. Meaning there's a way to know the time that corresponds to all this happening in Shemayim. What is that? Mishmar Rishayna. During the first mishmar, Chamar Noyer. So when you hear your donkey starting to bray, you know this is the Mishmar Rishayna, and it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is roaring like a lion. Shnia, the second, Klovim Tzayakin. You hear the dogs start making noise. Shlish is the third. Tinek Yenik Mishteima. That's when the babies wake up early in the morning. They start nursing from their mother. Ishim Saperes and Maila. And the baby wakes the mother up. Mother wakes her husband up. Either way, it's La Yehudim. But these are the three Mishmaris. This is the way of knowing exactly on this world when these Mishmaris are taking place in Shomayim. Either way, says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer holds Gimel Mishmaros Havi Alayla. Therefore, Atzoifa Shmura Rishayna is 4 hours. Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer simply say Atzoifa Shmura Rishayna? Because Rabbi Eliezer felt that it was important for us to know, B'derech Agav, that there's a way of knowing here on this world when the Soifa Shmura Rishayna is. So to give us that point, B'derech Agav, the Tana of the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer said, "Atzoif Hashmur Rishayna," and he didn't simply say up until 4 hours. Says the Gemara, "Maika Chash Rabbi Eliezer," where Rabbi Eliezer said there's three Mishmaros, and the way of knowing when those three Mishmaros are on this world is Simon Ladavir Mishmar Rishayna, the donkey brays, then the dogs make koilos, then the baby wakes her mother up, and then the father up, says the Gemara, Maikach Asher, Rabbi Eliezer. What is Rabbi Eliezer? Itchilat Mishmaros, Kechashim. Rabbi Eliezer is referring to the beginning of these three Mishmaros. So you have three Mishmaros. It's the beginning, the onset of the Mishmar. Tchilas Mishmar, Rishonis, Simar Olamali. What do I need a simon to know when the beginning of the first Mishmar is? The beginning of the first Mishmar would be the beginning of the night, also known as Seisa Kechavim, literally when the stars come out. So I need a simon to know when Seisa Kechavim is Urtuhu. That's the beginning of the night. Isaif Mishmar Kechashim. And if Rez is referring to the end of the Mishmar, is Soif Mishmar Achroid Alamali. So, okay, I need a simon to know when it's 4 hours into the night. I need a simon to know when it's 8 hours into the night. But I don't need a simon to know when it's 12 hours into the night. I don't need the Soif of the Mishmar Achroid, because the Soif of the Mishmar Achroid corresponds to Alois HaShachar. It corresponds to the beginning of the day. Yamamu. Ella says the Gemara Chashiv Soif Mishmar Rishayna. You have to see Rabbi Eliezer was describing, he was giving a simon for the Soif of the Shmura Rishayna, 4 hours into the night. Vetchilas Mishmar Achrayna, the beginning of the Mishmar Achrayna, the Emtsa is the Emtsa Isa, and the middle of the middle Mishmar. Iba Yasema says, Markutu Soif Mishmar is Kechashim. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer was referring to the Soif of the Mishmar. So it's 4, 8, and 12. That's the question. Why don't we need a simin for when the end of the Mishmar Achroina is? The end of the Mishmar Achroina is Tchilas Yomam. It corresponds with the beginning of day. It would happen afgemino if somebody is in a dark house and he wants to say Kriyashma and he has no way of knowing if it's a Loisa Shachar yet. So he has a simon, he has a way to know. Doesn't have to open up the shades, he doesn't have to walk outside, but rather, kivon the isha misaperes in baila. When a woman starts talking to her husband, he can rely on that. This is a real simon, and he could start saying Kriyash Mashal Shachar, says the Gemara. So on the topic of these Mishmaris, Rab Yitzchak Bar Shmuel said in the name of Rab, Gimel Mishmaris Avi Alayla, this three Mishmaris a night, called Mishmar, Mishmar, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vishoya Kari. Like Rabbi Eliezer said, V'oimer, and what does Hashem say when he shayy kari? He makes the following declaration: Oy lebonim, shababay nosei mechrafti es beisi. Woe to my children that they lost their Beis Hamikdash. Hakadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis Hamikdash twice. The first time by the Babylonians, the Nebuchadnezzar. The second time, the Romans. But Oy lebonim, shababay nosei mechrafti es beisi. V'sarafti es eicholi. I burnt the heichol. V'glisam lebein umay zayvam. So it seemed that during these mishmaros, which the Gemara defined as either the soif of the Mishmaros or the soif of the first, the middle of the second, and the beginning of the third, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars like a lion. Not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu roar like a lion, but he declares, Oy lebonim shababu yinoisei mechrafti es beisi v'sarafti es eicholi v'eglisim lebein umay zayvam. It would seem that these Mishmaros, these three times at night, are a esrotzai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoye Kari, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has remorse, kaviyachol, over the fact that he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And the Magen Avraham says that this Gemara right here is the Makar to Tikkun Chatzos. So we're familiar with the concept of Tikkun Chatzos, with tzaddikim would mourn Churban Beis HaMikdash, when? During Chatzos. Says the Magen Avraham, what's the Makar? And it would seem that Chatzos is an Eis Ratzon to cry and to mourn Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Makar is this Gemara, because Chatzos is the middle of the middle Mishmar. It's one of the Gimel Mishmaris. And during the Gimel Mishmaris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoyekari. And what does Hashem say? Oy lebonim shababinesei mechrafti es beisi v'sarafti es eicholi v'iglisim lebein umay salam. That means that the Mishmaros are times where it's an Eis Ratzon to daven for Churban Beis HaMikdash. It also would seem to mean that it's not only Chatzos, but it could also be the end of the Ashmura Rishayna and the beginning of the Ashmura Achrayna. But again, why are we talking about the Ashmuros here? It's because Rabbi Eliezer was defined his Soif Zman Kriyash Mashal Arvis as Ad Soif Ashmura Rishayna, which is really 4 hours into the night. Why didn't he say 4 hours into the night? Because Agav Urche Kamashmuan, he wanted you to know that there's a way of knowing when the Ashmura Rishayna is. So it's interesting. The first two lines, literally the first two halachas of Shas, of Talmud Bavli, the Mishnahs could have said something straightforward, and both times chose not to. Why? To digress. Agav urchei kamashmulan, that you should know something. What's the tchilas man kriyashma? Mishasha kehanim nechnasam lechol betrumasan. Literally, a halacha in Hilchus Tumah v'Taira to teach me that a a kohen that's tameh, but he's of the unique status of tameh that he has to bring a carbon in order for him to be tahar from his tameh. He's one of the dalid mechusrei kapara. As long as he goes to the mikvah on the last day of his tameh and the sun sets, it says akichavim. Even though he didn't bring his carbon yet, he's already allowed to eat shrimp. Interesting, not something we thought we had to know what we learned brachas dabez, but milsa agav arche kamash malon. And then again, what's the soif zman kriyishma? The first sheet is Rebbe Eliezer. At soif ashmura rishayna, you should know when the soif of the ashmura rishayna is. There's some significance to it. Today we have watches, but the point is, you'll hear the donkey braying, or you'll when the baby wakes up. What's the significance of that? It would seem the significance is that these are a critical times. It's an eis ratzin, tikichatzais, etc., etc. More on this note. Tanya, Rabbi Yosi, I was once traveling. I walked into one of the churvas Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yosi was traveling. It came time to daven. He wasn't in a shul. And he knew it was time already. Nobody came. And he said he waited for me at the door of this churva. Until I finished davening. Rabbi Yosi said, when I finished davening, Nobody came over to me. And he told me, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Eliyahu HaNavi referred to Rabbi Yosi as Rebbe. So I told him back, Shalom Alecha, Rebbe Umayri. He told him, Bini, Mipnei Ma Nechnasta L'Churva Zu. He said, why did you enter this Churva? I told him, L'Spal. I went to Davin. So he told me, Hoylecha L'Spal Baderech. He said, you should have Davin on the road. You should not have walked into a Churva. Amarti Lois, I told him, you see, Shemi Yafsiku be over Joachim. He says, I'll tell you the truth. I would have davened on the road, but I was afraid people would stop me, and I wanted a private place to daven. The only place that was private that I could find to daven was this churva. So this churva is this old, dilapidated structure, and that was the only place that I knew I could daven. Amalisa, he told me, you should have davened a tefillah katzara. So what's a tefillah katzara? So today you think of it as a hoichash menesre, but this is Rabbi Yosi davening biyachidus. Tefillah katzara is the Gemara later is going to talk about a tefillah known as havinenu, that the chachamim were misaking that if you don't have time, or it's not practical for you to daven a real tefillah, so consult your local rabbi before you invoke this halacha, but there's something called havinenu, it's an abridged version of Shemayin Esrei. We'll get to that in the later daven. But either way, Saliyah Navi told Rabbi Yosi that he did the wrong thing. You shouldn't have davened a regular proper davening in the churva. You should have davened al haderech. And I understand your concern that you were afraid you wouldn't have time to daven properly. I learned from this conversation with Eliyahu Hanavi Zachar Latov three things. I learned from him, you're not supposed to enter a churva. Eliyahu Hanavi felt that I shouldn't have gone in. What was the first question he asked? So clearly, you're not supposed to enter a churva. I also learned from here that you're allowed to daven on the derech. Rabbi Yosi said, I was certain you're not supposed to daven on the derech. Tfilo, kavana, how am I going to have kavana if I'm davening on the side of a road? So clearly, I was wrong, because Rabbi Yosi, because Eliyahu Navi told Rabbi Yosi, you should have davened baderech. But the Malik should have baderech. Mispal tefillah katzara. Additionally, Rabbi Yosi said, I learned that if somebody does have to daven baderech, he should daven a tefillah katzara. But then Eliyahu Navi continued. And he asked me, said Rabbi Yosi. This is Rabbi Yosi talking, and he's relating what Eliyahu HaNavi told him. He said, Bini, my son, ma kol shamata b'churvazu. When you were in this churva, did you hear anything? V'amarti lo, yes. Shamati baskol, I heard a baskol. Sheminahem es kiyoina. It was cooing like a dove. V'ayneres, and it said the following, Oy lebonim, shebavayneseh mechrafti es besi, v'sarafti es echoli v'glisim lebeinu maysa'ilam. I heard a baskol that was bemoaning the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and that the Yidden are gone. V'amali Eliyahu HaNavi told me, said Rabbi Yosi, I swear, this is not the only time that this baskol coos. Ella b'chol yoyim v'yoyim. Shalosh pa'amim ha'imereskach. This happens every day, three times a day. Which three times? The Gimel Mishmaris. He said, not just that. When the Yidden entered the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMikdash, a classic Gemara. And they say, Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevorach, also known as Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach, La'olam u'la'olmei omaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menanei HaRoshoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel shuckles his head. And he says, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsen Oiseh Bebeis HaKah, praised is the Melech who is praised in this way. And it would seem from this Gemara that this Eis Ratzon that is the Gimel Mishmaris, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoye Kari, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu bemoans the fact that he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he sent Yidden into Galus, happens every time the Yidden enter the Beis Knesset and the Beis Medrash and say Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevayrach. Either way, so you have a Gemara right in the beginning of Masechtas Brachos that mentions from the most famous tefillos and most powerful declarations that we have, and that is Yehei Shmei Rabbi Mevarach. This is a very important Tosfos here on the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll finish the Daf, and then we'll get back to that. Zok Gemara Vayta Tana Rabbanon. Minei Shloisha Dvarim Ein Nechnasin L'Churva. So Rabbi Yossi said that from his conversation with Eliyahu HaNavi, he realized that it's not okay to enter a churva. Eliyahu HaNavi saw Rabbi Yossi enter a churva, he waited for him, and then when he walked out, he said, "B'pnei ma nechnas al churva." Rabbi Yossi said, "L'madati mimedu shloisha dvarim." I learned three things from Eliyahu HaNavi. The first was that you're not supposed to enter a churva. So the question is, why not? Says the Gemara, "B'pnei shloisha dvarim ein nechnas al churva." There's three reasons that you're not supposed to enter a churva. Number one, "B'pnei chshat," that people shouldn't think that maybe the person is entering the churva because he's going to meet a zayna. Rashi says, "Shlo yomru zayna muchenes loyshak." Why you entering the churva? This is a private place, a place that people don't usually go. You're probably doing something that you don't want people to know about. So simply, mipnei achashad, don't enter a churva. Number two, mipnei amapoilas. We're concerned that maybe this churva is not built so properly, and as a result, the structure may fall. It's dangerous. And then finally, b'bnei ha-mazikin, because of mazikin, because of demons. So once upon a time, demons, as we'll see, as we go through the Yama Talmud, played a very, very important role in the conscience of the Tanoim and the Amiron. And as a result, there was a thought that in a churva, the mazikin were more prevalent. So number one, don't do it, b'bnei ha-chashad. Number two, don't do it, mipnei, it could be physical danger. This churva, this structure may fall on you. And besides, there's this idea of mazikim. What about mazikim bezman hazeh? So there's a very important Tosfos in Masechtas Yuma, daf ayin zayin amud beis. Tosfos over there is talking about the mazik called shifsa. Tosfos says, don't worry about shifsa today, because it's not around anymore. Apparently, once upon a time, it was. Something happened. There's no shifts anymore. Then Tosfos throws in, the same is true about zugois and about some other things. So a lot of these mazikin ideas that the Gemara talked about, the Bali Tosfos already acknowledged, Yuma, Ayin, Zayin, Omen, Beis, that's not something you have to worry about. But regardless, three reasons not to enter a churva. Says the Gemara, what do you need three reasons for? So the first reason was, Mipnei HaChashad. So what do you need this reason of Mipnei HaChashad? I mean, Mipnei HaPoilus, if there's a concern that you may get hurt, and a person's not allowed to put himself into physical danger, so what do you need the reason for Mipnei HaChashad? So the Gemara says, B'chadati. No, Mechafs Anaf Gemino. What if it's a new churva? Churva doesn't necessarily have to be old. If it's old, so then you assume the foundation's weak, something may happen. But maybe it's a new churva. If it's a new churva, there's no concern of chashad, but at the there's no concern of mapoilus, but there would be a concern of chashad. Okay, but you have the reason of mazikin anyway. So again, what do you need the reason of chashad? So Mara says betray. No, nafgamina would be if you were two people. So if two people would enter a churva, you wouldn't have to worry about the mazikin. Apparently, the mazikin would start up with one person, but they're not brave enough to start up with two people. So if there's two people there, you don't have to worry about mazikin. But a chashad, you have to worry about. But the Mara says you betray chashad nami like that. If there's two people, maybe you shouldn't have to worry about chashad either. I mean, if one man walks into a churva, maybe you have to be concerned. Who knows who he's going to meet? But if there's two men, do you have to be concerned? So the Gemara says, sometimes, betray your pritzi. If the two people are not good guys, and they're both people that have there's a thought that maybe they would do such an aveira, so even if there's two, it would be an issue. Incidentally, Rashi says that this is something that's negeya, very much lamaisa and hilchas yichud. So are two men allowed to be in a state of yichud together with a woman? So the answer is, it depends who these two men are. If they're ksheri, then it's okay. If they're pritzi, it's not okay. This Gemara is a source of that. Okay, so that's why you need the reason of chashad. You need the reason of chashad because it's what would be if you have a new churva, so there's no chash mapoilus. You have two people, so there's no chash mazikin. So it's important to know that you're not allowed to enter a churva but b'nei ha-chashad. Okay, says the Gemara, b'nei ha-mapoilus, what do I need the reason of mapoilus for? Meaning, once I know chashad, what do I need mapoilus? V'tepiklei mishum chashad u'mazikin. So the Gemara says, no, it's negeya betray v'ksheri. What would be if you have two people, so there's no chashash mazikin, and they're both ksherin, So there's no chashash of chashar either. So it's negay mipnei ha-mapoylesim. Now mazikin. So what do you need the reason of mazikin for? Betepin lebi chashar of ha-poyles. So the Gemara says, b'chur v'chadati. It's negay ha-chur v'chadati where there's no chashash ma-poyles. U'v'tshrei v'ksheri. And two ksherim where there's no issue of chashar either. So it's that, for that reason you need mazikin. But the Gemara says, if you're keeping cheshbin, if you're holding the cheshbin, he betrayed mazikin amileko. Then, if there's two people, there shouldn't be a problem mazikin either. So the Gemara says, that even though you, ordinarily, if there's two people, you don't have to worry about mazikin. But if this is a place where you know that the mazikin gather, this is a place that has a reputation, it's not the first time, meaning people know that there are mazikin in this area, so then even two people would be an issue, assuming the two people would share him. So there wouldn't be a problem of kshat, but there would be a problem of mazikin. The reason you need mazikin is for a case where you have only one. Uvechur v'chadeti, the koy b'tavre. It's negeya, where this happened in a field. The hasim ishum chshad leka, over there there's no problem with chshad. The ishum v'tavre lo yishchicha, because it's not shchich that a woman would be in a field. Ishum mazikin ikka, either way, the Gemara said, there's three reasons why you don't enter a churva. What are the three reasons? Number one, ne'achshad. People shouldn't be choshed you that you're going to meet a zoyna. Mepneam apoylis, physical harm, Rebnei Mazikin, more heebie-jeebie, but the point is, each one is Nageya, because there's reasons why maybe sometimes one would be Nageya, not the other two. That's why the Chachamim gave three, and that was Eliyahu Hanavi's point. When he met Rabbi Yossi and he told him that Bnei Ma Nechnasto L'Churva, there's three reasons you're not supposed to enter L'Churva. That's what he was telling Rabbi Yossi. Tan Rabbanan. So back to the topic of the Mishmaris. Abra Mishmaris Havi Alai with nights divided into four Mishmaris. Rabbi Nassan says Shalish. It's not four Mishmaris, it's three. So Rabbi Eliezer's shita was Gimel Mishmaris Havi Alaylo. That's why Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that Kriyashma is 4 hours into the night, said Atzoif Hashmura Rishayna, because the 12-hour night is divided into three Mishmaris. So this price, it's a machloikis. Rebbe holds four, Rab Nosson holds three. By time of the Rab Nosson, Dechsev Ayova Gidoin, Umeo Isha Asher Ita Bikzea Machane, Roish Hashmura Hatichayna. So the Pasuk there mentions the Ashmoira HaTichayna, and we learn from here, even though it's a different context there, Tana ain't Tichayna El Shiesh Lefanel Lacharah. So if the Pasuk mentions the middle Ashmoira, what does middle mean? It means there's an odd number of Nishmaros, and this is the middle one. So it must be, it's not four, because which one would be the middle if it's four? There'd be two middles. So it must be it's the second of three. That's how you know that this three mishmaros. For Rebbe, my tichonis, what does Rebbe hold? He holds achas min hatichonis shebat tichonis. Really, there are two middle ones, because really there's four mishmaros, and this was one of the middle ones. It was either the second or the third, but really there's four mishmaros, not three mishmaros. For Rab Nosson, miksiv tichonis shebat tichonis, tichoniksiv. It's toichik. My time of the Rebbe, what's Rebbe's makar? That arba mishmaros have alayva. So Rab Nosson's makar is, it said, Hashmoira HaTichayna. Rebbe defended his position, but Rab Nosson's pshat definitely works better with the pasuk than Rebbe's does. So this pasuk is a makar for Rab Nosson. It can't be a makar for Rebbe. So what is Rebbe's makar? Had Rebbe know that it's really four mishmaris? I'm Rab Zreik, I'm Rab Ami, I'm Rab Shua ben Levi. Kosev Echad, everyone pasuk says, Chatzai Slay Lachim Lahoyt Aslach, Al Mishpatei Tzekecho. That David HaMelech says that I wake up by Chatzai Lahoyt Aslach. Kosev Echad, another pasuk says, Kidmu Einai Ashmuroi. Okay, it's sad. So one pasuk says, David HaMelech said, I woke up by Chatzos. The other pasuk says, David HaMelech says, I woke up before Ashmurois. Kidmu Einai, Ashmurois. Meaning before two of the Ashmurois. How's that possible? Okay, it's sad. Says Rebbe, Arba Mishmaris Havei Alayla. It must be the night. The 12 hours is divided into four Mishmaris. If it's divided into four Mishmaris, each Mishmar is 3 hours. If each Mishmar is 3 hours, Chatzos is after the first two. And before the latter two, which means they're both true. Number one, David HaMelech said, Chatzis Laila Akum Lahoid Islach Hamish Petei Tzekech. I woke up by Chatzis, and it was also Kid Mu'ein, Ashmurois. I also woke up after the first two Ashmurois, and before the latter two Ashmurois, but it must be that Arba Mishmaris Havi Alayla. Because if it's Gimel Mishmaris Havi Alayla, then where's Chatzis? It's in middle of the second Mishmar. And if it's in the middle of the second Mishmar, that means David HaMelech woke up after 1.5 Mishmaris and before 1.5 Mishmaris. But it's not Kidmu Einai Ashmuros, says the word Rav Nosson. So what's Rav Nosson hold? Seems to be a good pasuk. David HaMelech said he woke up by Chatzos and it was Kidmu Einai Ashmurais, says the Gemara. Nasan Savalak Rabbi Yeshua. Hilzak Rabbi Shatan. We learned in the Mishnah later, here in the first paragraph of Masechtas Brachos, Rabbi Yeshua says, Ad Shalosh Shois. So there the Mishnah is discussing not Kriyas Mashal Arvis,
but rather Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. And the Mishnah says, what's the Soif Zman of Kriya Shema Shel Shachris? So Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is defined by B'shach B'cha. Bizman Shebnei Adam Shoichman. Kriya Shema Shel Shachris is defined by Uvkumecha. Bizman Shebnei Adam comes. So who's the last person to wake up in the morning? So the Gemara says the kings. Shekein Derech Melachim Lamed the Shalashois. And they used to wake up 3 hours into the morning. Okay, how does that help us? Because if David HaMelech says that I woke up, but Kidmoein Ayashmurois, David HaMelech was a king. So he was comparing when he woke up relative to the other kings. And his point was, I wake up by Chatzais, but it's 2 Ashmurais before when I should be waking up, because as a melech, I should be waking up 3 hours into the morning. If that's the case, it's Shistilelya, Tarti Diyamama, Havalushmei Mishmaris. Meaning, Rav Nosson holds that each Mishmar is 4 hours, because it's not Dalid Mishmaris Havelaila, rather it's Gimel Mishmaris Havelaila. See, each Mishmar is made up of 4 hours. David HaMelech woke up by Chatzais. So he woke up 6 hours before morning, but he woke up 9 hours before when he was really supposed to have woken up, which, if you were going to just convert that into mishmaris, 9 hours has 2 mishmaris into it, because a mishmar is 4 hours, 4 times 2 is 8, back to the envelope arithmetic. So says Rav Nosson, that's the reason that they're both true. You can reconcile the fact that David HaMelech woke up by Chatzais, and he also woke up, Kidmoein Ashmuris. Rashi said, Mo Pashet, Mishmaru Palga, Nami Mishmaris, Karuluhu. If he woke up 1.5 Mishmaris before the morning, it's true, it's 1.5, but we don't have to nitpick so much. 1.5 is 2. And if it's 2, you can reconcile the fact that David HaMelech woke up by Chatzais, and he also woke up, Kidmoein Ashmuris. So the Gemara mentioned Rab Zreika in the name of Rab Ami, in the name of Yeshua ben Levi, said the Gemara is going to do what it often does, and very, very, very much so here in the beginning of Masechtas Brachos. The Gemara is going to digress for a moment. If someone's in the presence of a mace, someone that died, so you're only allowed to speak Dvarav Shel Mace. Can't have any side conversations. It doesn't mean. Said Rab Abba that it just means that you shouldn't speak in learning. If you want to talk about your business, you want to talk about the weather, you want to talk about something else, even though you're Bafanav Shel Mace, that's going to be okay. To talk in learning, that's not okay. Some say, no, just the opposite. No, Rab Kahano wasn't saying that it's okay to talk about mundane matters in the presence of a mace. It's disrespectful to the mace. What he said was that you would have thought that maybe to talk and learning is okay. You're going to sit down and you're going to learn. So he said, no, I feel a bit of a Torah. Even that's not appropriate. But the Koshkein, Mili Diyama, certainly, when it comes to Mili Diyama, that's certainly not okay. One more Gemara. Is that true? David HaMelech used to wake up by Chatzos? Why do we assume he woke up by Chatzos? Chatzos Laila, Okam Lahoydas Lach, Amish Betetzin Kecho. Faith, the Gemara's not true. Meyur Tavi Koi. We know David HaMelech used to wake up right at the beginning of the night. So I'm not sure when he went to sleep. But Meyurta, Betchila Salaila, says the Gemara. He already woke up. Because the Pasuk says, Ki Damti Baneshef Va'ashaveyo. David HaMelech says, I woke up Baneshef. Umimai Dahai Neshef. How do you know that Neshef means the beginning of the night? Because the Pasuk says, Beneshef Be'erev Yoim Be'ishon Laila Va'feilo. It's literally when day turns to night. Be'erev Yoim Be'ishon Laila. That seems to be the definition of Beneshev. And David HaMelech said, Ki damti Baneshev Va'ashaveh. So did David HaMelech wake up by Chatzos? Or did he wake up by Tzeisak Echavim? Amrav Oishia, Amrav Acha, Hachigam HaDavid. Me'oilam Li, Amrav Lecha Tzeis Laila Bashina. You want to know when David HaMelech woke up? Tzeisak Echavim. Okay, maybe sometimes he slept a little bit later. But David said, I never slept past Chatzos. Rab Zeira says, At Chatzos, Laila, Hoya Misnamim Kisos. Up until Chatzos, David HaMelech was dreamling. He was sort of falling asleep, but he was awake, just not 100%. And he was, that's what he did up until Chatzos. Mikam Ve'elochai Misgaber Kari, he was Misgaber Kari. So when David HaMelech said, Ki damti baneshef va'ashaveya, he said that he was up, meaning he wasn't in a deep sleep. At that point, he was Misnamne, but at the same time, he was Misnamne. When did he fully wake up? That was Chatzos Laila Akum Lahoydes Lach Hashem. When David HaMelech, during those hours, when David is Misnamnim, so what was he doing? So if you look at Rashi says, Misnamnim Kisos Oisik B'Toyra Kishu Misnamnim. He was learning Torah. What came to mind was, Rav Sheshe says many places in Shas, many, many places, about his Rebbe Rav. So Rav made a statement, and Rav Shesha said, "Kad shochem v'nayim Rav amalaham milsa." That this halacha Rav said, he said while he was not, while he was in a state of misnamnein, while he wasn't sleeping, but clearly he wasn't fully awake either. And at first glance, when you read the Gemara, it sounds like Rav Sheshes was making a derogatory statement. He said, "Kanayim v'shachiv Rav amalah hamilsa." That your Rebbe says something, and somebody says, "This is what I heard from your Rebbe." Yeah, he said it while he was sleeping. But that's certainly what he sounds like. And the Chavis Yair and the Tshuva discusses, how's it possible that Rav Sheshes and Amora would talk this way about anybody? Certainly, how's it possible he would talk this way about Rav? And oh, by the way, Rav was Rav Sheshes' Rebbe. So Rav Sheshes, who had the utmost respect for his greatest Rebbe, Rav, would say, "Kadnayim v'shachiv Rav, amalah hamilsa." How could you even make sense of that? The Chavis Yair, it's in Tshuva Kuf Nun Beis, he discusses this and many other similar perplexing Gemaras, where the Gemara talks about different statements that Tanam and Amiram said that at first glance would seem to be inappropriate, maybe even Lashon Hara. Incidentally, the Chafetz Chaim, at the end of his Sefer, Chafetz Chaim, he quotes a few Tshuvas where Gedolei Yisrael spoke about different Gemaras that at first glance would seem to be quote-unquote Lashon Hara or, you know, somewhat related to that. And this is one of the Tshuvas that he brings. This Tshuva from the Chavis Yair. But either way, the Chavis Yair says a Pshat. But I was thinking, you see that David HaMelech used to learn Torah when he was Misnamnei. It wasn't a chesar, it was a maila. The point is, David HaMelech didn't tuck himself into bed and go fall into a deep sleep. He was misnamnei. And what did he do when he was misnamnei? He was oisik b'tayra kishu misnamnei. Maybe that's what Rav Sheshes was saying. He was saying that my Rebbe Rav never went to sleep. Even when he was lying in bed, he was misnamnei. And what did he do when he was misnamnei? He was oisik b'tayra. Okay, so maybe this vart happened during that kufa, and as a result, we have to take it as a grain of salt. But to the contrary, what Rav Sheshes was saying was he was giving his Rebbe the ultimate shvach, that this Gemara, Brachas Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that talks about the greatness of David HaMelech, that he was misnamnim kusos. What was it? David HaMelech was misnamnim kusos. So Rashi, yeah, he didn't go to sleep. He was oisik b'tayra kishum misnamnim. That's something that he saw by his Rebbe Rav. Maybe that's the rest of the story. Either way, the Gemara says, is that true? That Neshef, Rav Ashi says, that the way you reconcile this is David HaMelech, up until Chatzos, was Oisik b'Devetor. When did David HaMelech wake up? He woke up at the beginning of the night. He woke up by Tzitzak Yechavim. The pasuk says, Chatzos Laila Akum. Yeah, but what's the end of the pasuk? Chatzos Laila Akum Lahoidus Lach Hamish Betein Sekech. Lahoid, emphasis not on Akum. Emphasis on Lahoidus Lach. Because up until Chatzos, David HaMelech was learning Torah. It's Mikan Ve'elach, I'm Akum Lahoidus Lach. Then David HaMelech switched. He shifted gears from being Oisik B'Toyra to Tehillim, to Shireis V'Sishbacha. It's very tomorrow, but Neshef Urtu. Is Neshef Urtu? I mean, we just define Neshef as being the beginning of the night. Kidamti ba'Neshef Ashaveh, David HaMelech said, he woke up literally as the days flipped tonight. HaNeshef Tzafru, I have another pasuk that seems to imply that Neshef is actually the morning. It's when night turns morning. The pasuk says, Vayakim David. David hit them. Me HaNeshef V'ad Ha'erev L'macharasam. It says he fought from Neshef until evening. So, what's Neshef? Doesn't it sound like it's not evening? Oh, probably from morning to evening. My love means safra vad laila. The Gemara says, like, mi urta var dorta. It means from evening until evening. Be consistent. If the two words mean the same thing, it's in the same pasuk. So you can have two words in different psukim that mean the same thing. You have synonyms. But in the same pasuk, me aneshev ad erev, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Elam arava sarav sarav. Shots like this. Trey nishvi havi. There are two times in the day that are referred to as neshev. Nashav laila va'asi yamama, nashav yamama va'asi laila. When day becomes night, that's neshev. And when night becomes day, that's also neshev. Because the definition of neshev is not day, it's not night, it's when the time changes. So day to night is neshev, night to day is neshev. When David HaMelech said, ki damti ba neshev ha-shaveya, that's when day turns night. When the pasuk says, vayakim David ne'a neshev ad-erev, that was when the night turned day. Either way, we'll stop here. But two ha'aras, two rate bites. The first is the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph mentioned Eliyahu HaNavi. Tanya, Om Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Pam Achas Ayisi Mahalach Baderech. He says, I was once traveling. V'nechnasi L'chur V'achas B'chur V'shishalayim. It came time to daven. And I was looking for a quiet place. And the only quiet place I could find was a churva. So he says, I entered the churva L'spal. Bo, Eliyahu Zachal HaToiv. Eliyahu HaNavi Zachal HaToiv came. V'shom Ali Ana Pesach. And he waited for me. Ad Shisiyamti Tfilasi. Till I finished davening. L'achas Shisiyamti Tfilasi. He told me, Shom Alecha Rebbe. Shom Alecha Rebbe Yemori. And he asked him, why did you daven
why did you enter the churva? So he said, I went to daven. He said, why couldn't you daven on the derech? He said, I was afraid I wouldn't be able to have kavana. He said, you should have davened the tefillah katsara. So Rabbi Yossi said, wow, three halachas, check, check, check. He said, I learned from here that you're not supposed to enter a churva, because Aliyah Novi was taken aback why I entered a churva. I also learned that you're allowed to daven on the side of the road. I assume for sure you can't. He said, you should have davened on the side of the road. Okay, that's interesting, Rabbi Yossi said. And then he also told me that if you had you davened on the side of the road, you could have davened the tefillah katsara. So those were the three halachas that Rabbi Yossi said he learned from Aliyah Novi. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayes and his Agoyas on the Gemara, Agoyas Mahar Tzach, asks Akasha. He says that he doesn't understand how Rav Yossi was able to learn one halacha, let alone three halachas from Eliyahu HaNavi. He says, we know that Eliyahu HaNavi was a Navi. Eliyahu HaNavi is a Navi. And we know that Torah is Leib HaShemayim, which means that you're not allowed to... If a Navi would come and he would say that he had a dream, and in the dream HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him this halacha or that halacha, and then he comes back the next day, he gets behind this pulpit, and he tells the Olam, you should know that the halacha is like this, or the halacha is like that. You wouldn't listen to the Navi. The rule is, Torah is loy bashamayimi. So freaked the Maritz Chiyos, the Rabbi Yossi said that I learned three halachas from Eliyahu Zachalatoy. How could you learn the halacha from Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi is a Navi, and the rule is that Torah loy bashamayimi. So if Torah is loy bashamayimi, how can you learn the halacha from Eliyahu HaNavi? And says the Maritz Chiyos, a very simple halacha. And that is that it's true Eliyahu Navi was a Navi. And there's a rule that Torah Leva Shemayim. So from that standpoint, you can't learn any halachas from a Navi. But that's only if the Navi that's saying over the halacha is saying it as Navuah. Meaning he comes and he says that I have no way of proving to you that this is the way it is. But what should I tell you? God came to me in a dream, and he told me that this is the way it is. And as a result, I'm telling you that that's the way it is. But what would be if a Navi would come and he would say a Svara? If a Navi would come, he would clara chakira. He would say two dinim. He would say a lumdis. He would bring a raya. Then of course he'd be able to listen to a Navi. Why should a Navi be worse than any other Rav? Why should he be worse than a Paisik? Why should it be worse than a Rosh Yeshiva? Because he's a Navi, that's it. You're not allowed to hear Torah from him. You can only hear Navua from him. Says the Maritz Chiyos, if the Navi's acting as a Navi, if the hat that he's wearing is, hi, I'm a Navi, and I came to tell you, per my Navua, that this is the halacha Torah Leib HaShemayim. But if the Navi is coming as a chacham, then of course you're allowed to listen to what he said. Why should he be any worse? So says the Maritz Chiyos. When Eliyahu HaNavi was talking to Rabbi Yossi and he told him these halachas, he wasn't acting as Eliyahu the Navi. He was acting as Eliyahu Zachal HaTayif. He came as a chacham. So said Rabbi Yossi, there's no reason I shouldn't be able to learn this halacha from Eliyahu HaNavi any more than if I would have heard it from somebody else. Either way, this is the Yesoid. This is the Yesoid of the Maritz Chiyos. And the truth is, Maritz Chiyos says this Yesoid many times. In fact, Maritz Chiyos wrote a sefer called Toiras Neviim. And in his Sefer Toiras Neviim, he talks a lot about different halachas that relate to a Navi. Most notably, this halacha of Torah Leib HaShemayim, as says the Maritz Chiyos, the reason you find that there were halachas that sometimes Chazal learned from Neviim, it's because the Navi wasn't acting as Navi when he was stating this halacha, but rather the Navi was acting as Chacham, and it's for that reason this was something that was considered to be acceptable. Incidentally, perhaps the most famous tshuva in Tshuvas Chassam Sofer is a Rechaim Simen Reish Ches. Rechaim Simen Reish Ches, the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva. He literally travels through Shas, and it was written to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayes. And if you look at the beginning of the tshuva, the context of the tshuva was that Maritz Chiyos wrote this sefer, Toiras Neviim, and he sent it to the Chassam Sofer. He wanted the Chassam Sofer to look through the sefer. I don't know if he asked him for Haskalah, but he asked him to look through the sefer. And the Chassam Sofer's tshuva, Erechayim Simen Reish Ches, is the Chassam Sofer's ha'oris on the sefer Toiras Neviim. And if you look over there, he talks about some of these svaras as well. But either way, Azoy Shteit Maritz Chiyos. But being that Eliyahu HaNavi comes up a lot in Shas, and we'll see many encounters between Tandam and Amirav and Eliyahu Zachar Latoyev. So I think it's worth digressing for a moment and bringing out two additional points. So again, so you have this idea that Eliyahu HaNavi, sometimes when he talks, he's talking as the Navi Eliyahu, and sometimes while Eliyahu HaNavi talks, he's talking as the Talmud Chacham Eliyahu. And I think in order to properly appreciate the story of Eliyahu HaNavi, you have to be a little bit more familiar with the death of Eliyahu HaNavi. The pasuk says in Sefer Melachim, and this is Melachim Beis, it's Perek Beis. So the pasuk over there describes the final moments of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was together with his protege, Elisha the Navi. It says the pasuk, Vayika Avram, Eliyahu Amar al Elisha. Eliyahu turned to Elisha, and he told him, Shalma Esalach, ask me what you want from me, Beterem Elokach Miyabach, before I'm taken away from you. Meaning Eliyahu HaNavi said, these are my final moments. So if there's anything you want, ask me now. Vayim Elisha. So Elisha turns to Eliyahu, and he says, you know what I want? Vihinah I want you to make me double what you were. So yo, you're great. I want to have pishnai. So yo, Anabi turns to Elisha and he told him, he asked me a very difficult question. Because how could I make you more than I was? The most I could do is I can give you from what I have. But you're asking me that you want to be Pishnayim. And then Eliyahu HaNavi said as follows. If you're going to see me taking away from you, then you should know you're going to have it. And if not, lo yeah, you're not going to have it. They were walking together and they're talking. And all of a sudden a fire that was shaped like a chariot came, v'susayesh, and horses of fire, v'yafridu bein shneim, and they separated between Eliyahu and Elisha, v'yal Eliyahu basara shamayim, and then a whirlwind came, Eliyahu HaNavi entered this whirlwind, and he went up to Shamayim, v'Elisha roya, Elisha saw this, v'hu mitzayik, and he started yelling and screaming, he said, avi avi rechev Yisrael ufarashav, v'loy ra'ohuayid, and that was the last time that he saw Eliyahu HaNavi. Either way, this is the pasuk that describes Misas Eliyahu. And one thing's very clear. Eliyahu HaNavi didn't pass away in the conventional way. There wasn't Misa, not Misas Neshika even. There was no Kfura, but rather Eliyahu HaNavi is walking together with Elisha. All of a sudden you have Rechevesh and Suseyesh Vayafridu Bein Shneim Vayal Eliyahu Basara HaShemayim. It's for this reason, this is the backdrop of why Eliyahu HaNavi makes many, many appearances throughout the ages. How's Eliyahu HaNavi appearing? What does that mean? And why Eliyahu HaNavi? Why not Elisha? Why not Moshe? Why not Avram? Why not Yitzchak? Why is it Eliyahu HaNavi? The reason is because Eliyahu HaNavi never really died. The pasuk says, "Vayal Eliyahu Basara HaShemayim," and it's because of the fact that he never really died. That's the reason that you find Eliyahu HaNavi. In fact, the Achrayim and the Lamdim all discussed if Eliyahu HaNavi's wife was allowed to get married or she wasn't allowed to get married. What do you mean? Of course, she's an almana. No, she's not. Her husband never died. If Eliyahu HaNavi had died, she'd be an almana. But she never died. So what's the chakira? Is it the misa that allows an almana to get married? It's not the misa. The fact that they're not living together anymore. So Eliyahu HaNavi, as much as he didn't die, but the pasuk says regarding Elisha, it says, V'loi ra'o'ai, never saw him again. So clearly, Eliyahu HaNavi left. So being that he left, so does Eliyahu HaNavi's wife have a din of an almana that she's allowed to get married to somebody else? Or does she not have a din of an almana? But that's in the lumdus. But in terms of the metzius of Eliyahu HaNavi, and again, this is the backdrop to everything you always hear about Eliyahu HaNavi, it's based on this pasuk. V'yal Eliyahu basara shamayim, but he never died in the conventional way. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says, Ashkechei Rabbi Baravu Eliyahu, the Koy Beis HaKfaris. Rabbi Baravu met Eliyahu HaNavi in a Beis HaKfaris. And this Beis HaKfaris was a cemetery of Gentiles. Shaloi V'dekei Chavim. And he started talking to them and learning, and the Gemara discusses what they were discussing over. This is a Gemara in the end of Masechtas Bava Metzia. Break the Gemara Akasha. Or says the Gemara, the Rabbi Baravu turned to Eliyahu HaNavi, and he said, by the way, Eliyahu, aren't you Pinchas, right? I learned that Pinchas and Eliyahu were the same person. Pinchas was a Kohen. If Pinchas was a Kohen, he says, my time you Kohen married Beis HaKfaris. What are you doing here in the Beis HaKfaris? Amale, he told him, Loi Masni Mar Tahiris. You never learned Tahiris, okay? Natalia, we're the same Tahiris. Rishim Ba'ichai said, Kirei, Shalev, Dikichavim, Ein Natamim. That Kirei Yaakov, and not Natamim. So he told him, it's for that reason that I'm allowed to be here. You have a Gemara, where the Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi met Rabbi Baravua, and Rabbi Baravua asked him, what are you doing in a Beis HaKfaris? So he told him, I'm allowed a beer, because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that Kivrei Yaakov anat matamim, and this Beis HaKfaris is the Beis HaKfaris of Kivrei Yaakov. But one thing you see in this Gemara, that Eliyahu HaNavi, when he makes an appearance, he's chayv mitzvahs. He's chayv mitzvahs. What do you mean? He died. He didn't die. Because he was just Allah Basara HaShemayim. But being that he never died, he's chayv mitzvahs. But it's yidua that the Chassam Sofer in a tshuva, and this is in Shailos HaTshuvas Chassam Sofer, it's Chelek Vav, it's Tshuva Peiches. He asked the Kasha, that if Eliyahu HaNavi, because he never died in the conventional way, is chayv mitzvahs. He says, I want to ask you a question. You know, Eliyahu HaNavi goes to a bris every single bris, we have a kisoy shel Eliyahu. Why do you have a kisoy shel Eliyahu? Because Eliyahu Hanavi is the malach habris. Eliyahu Hanavi was, he stood up against Achav. When Achav said that no Jewish baby is allowed to have bris milah, he took on Achav. He wasn't afraid for his life. And as a result, Eliyahu became the malach habris. And there isn't a bris milah that ever happens that Eliyahu Hanavi is not present. So, Eliyahu Hanavi comes to every single bris. Frey, the chasam sofer, what happens if there's a bris milah on Shabbos? Or better, what if there's two bris milahs on Shabbos? So you have one in New York, and then you have another one on the West Coast. How does Eliyahu Hanavi go? If he's chayiv in mitzvahs, he can't go chutz l'tchum. So he makes a ruvit tchum in every mil. So what does that mean? How could Eliyahu Hanavi go to two bris milahs on Shabbos? You'll tell me, well, he's not chayiv in mitzvahs. What do you mean? He is chayiv in mitzvahs. You tell me he wasn't allowed to be in a Beis HaKfaris. The Teretz was. Kivrei Yaakov, Eina Matama. I'll ask you another kasha. Eliyahu Hanavi comes to every Seder. Right, you have the Kaysh, you have the Kisa Shal Eliyahu, you have the Kaysh Shal Eliyahu, the Kisai and Kaysai. So you have the Kaysh Shal Eliyahu. He says, I don't understand. Pesach is Yontif. Yontif, you're also not allowed to go outside of the Tchum. So Lechura, if there's Tchum, how can he go to every Seder? Isn't he traveling outside of the Tchum? Says the Chasam Sofer, Davar Nifla. He says, it's true the Gemara says that Eliyahu Navi never died in the conventional way. He was Allah Basara HaShemayim. But says the Chasam Sofer, you know what happened? As Eliyahu Navi's body was going up to Shemayim, his neshama left his guf. Interesting. Paul doesn't say that. His neshama left his guf. And because his neshama left his guf, although it's true he never died in the conventional way, but he also never didn't die in the conventional sense. I mean, he didn't die. It wasn't a regular misa. But at the same time, don't think he's alive and nothing happened to him. There was an element of misa. His neshama left his guf. But being that he didn't die in the conventional way, the neshama can sometimes return to the guf. But being that he also did die a little bit because the neshama did leave the guf, sometimes the neshama can make an appearance without the guf. Says the Chasam Sofer, there's two dinim in Eliyahu. Sometimes Eliyahu Hanavi comes with his neshama and his guf. What do you mean? I thought he died. No, he never really died. Vayal Eliyahu basar ha-shamayim. But sometimes Eliyahu Hanavi's neshama can come without the guf. What do you mean? I thought he never died. Yeah, he never died, but the neshama did part from the guf. And that's why sometimes the neshama itself can make an appearance. The Gemara Bava Mitzia, Daf Kuf Yadal, and Eliyahu Hanavi came with the guf. He came with the Gansa Ganskai. Oh, Gansa Ganskai, he's Chayv HaMitzvahs. That Eliyahu Hanavi never died, he's Chayv HaMitzvahs. The Eliyahu Hanavi that comes to the Bris Milah, the Eliyahu, that's the Malach HaBris, Kisah Shal Eliyahu. And then the Eliyahu, we have the Koshal Eliyahu that goes to the Leila Seder, that's the Neshama of Eliyahu. Oh, that's the Neshama of Eliyahu. There it's already different. That Eliyahu is not going to be Chayv HaMitzvahs. So sometimes Eliyahu is Chayv HaMitzvahs, sometimes Eliyahu is not Chayv HaMitzvahs. That's the second Ara. But just one more Ara as it relates to Eliyahu Hanavi, then we're going to get to the second Rabbi. And that is, that we find that Eliyahu Hanavi is mentioned in Shas as Eliyahu. Incidentally, I saw in the Megadim Chadashim, Rav David Yoel Weiss, if you could get your hands on it, has a sefer on Masechtas Brachos. It's tremendous. But either way, right here on this Ha'ara, Megadim Chadashim, Eliyahu Zachar Latayv, he makes an observation that this is the only place in Shas that Eliyahu Hanavi is referred to as Eliyahu Zachar Latayv. He says in Talmud Yerushalmi, you find that he's often referred to as Eliyahu Zachar Latayv, and you also find in Midrashim that he's referred to as Eliyahu Zachar Latayv. And he says it could be, it's not a coincidence, because the Midrashim were written in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara was written in Bavel, hence Talmud Bavli. But there was also a Talmud Yerushalmi, and there are also many Midrashim, Medrash Rab, etc. The Midrashim came from Eretz Yisrael. So he says it seems like in Eretz Yisrael they would refer to Eliyahu as Eliyahu Zachar Latayv. But in Bavel, not. This is the one place where you find in Talmud Bavli that Eliyahu is referred to as Zachar Latayv. But it got me thinking. And that is that Tosfos says in Masechtas Chulin Davav and in other places as well, that wherever the Gemara says a story and it mentions Ahu Saba, that old man, who's it referring to? It's not just an ordinary elderly fellow. It's referring to Eliyahu Hanavi. So I was thinking, what's the pshat that sometimes Eliyahu is referred to as Eliyahu, as in the Gemara that we just learned, Brachas Daf Gimel, and you have the Gemara we just mentioned, Bava Mitzia, Daf Kuf Yadal, there's many Gemaras like that. And sometimes you find that Eliyahu Hanavi is referred to as Ahu Saba. So why sometimes Eliyahu, and why sometimes Ahu Saba? So Pasha, you could say that maybe it depends on what Eliyahu appeared like. Did Eliyahu Hanavi look like Eliyahu Hanavi? Or did he look like Ahu Saba? But I think the pshat is a little bit deeper. I have rayas. But I think the pshat is a little bit deeper. And that is based on another very important yisoid as it relates to Eliyahu Hanavi. And that's the yisoid of the chidah. This chidah is say for Pesach Inayim, a mesechtes menachos daf memhe. The chidah over there brings a kasha from the Shita Mikubetzes. It says, we know that there are many times the Gemara asks a question and the Gemara says, teiku. What does teiku mean?
Tishbi Yitaretz Kushyas Ve'ibayas. Some have the Nusach. Tishbi Yitaretz Kushyas Ve'havayas. It's the same difference, right? The Eliyahu HaNavi is going to resolve. There are a lot of questions that we don't know the answer to. Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Tishbi is going to come, and he's going to be Metaretz Kushyas Ve'ibayas. Fake the Shita Mekubet says, there are many Gemaras where the Gemara discusses that there were different Tanam and Amiram, they met Eliyahu HaNavi. See, he asks, if they met Eliyahu HaNavi, why did they ask Eliyahu HaNavi these questions? L'chura, they should have asked him. All the Tekus, they should have gone up to Eliyahu HaNavi and said, oh wow, I'm so happy I met you. We have a whole list of Tekus throughout Shas. What's the answer? Ask Eliyahu HaNavi, he's here. So why didn't you ask him? And you see, you could sometimes learn halachas from Eliyahu HaNavi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Limadati mimenu kibul dvarim." I learned three things from Eliyahu HaNavi. So the kasha is, why didn't Tanaim and Amiroim, who had encountered Eliyahu HaNavi, ask Eliyahu HaNavi the answer to these questions? Azoy freik the shita mekubet says the chidon pasachinayim. He says, I'm going to tell you what the real teretz is. He says, you know what the pshat is? It's because Eliyahu HaNavi yesh loy kama bebchinos. He has comes on different levels, whatever bechinos means. There's different bechinos of Eliyahu HaNavi. Ukeshaya nigla l'rabbi seinu, haya bebchina achas. And when he would meet with the Tanoim, he came with one bechina. But ukeshein by ela oisa bechina, but when he only has that bechina achas, loy efshale lifshay tateku shabashas. He's not smart enough, or he doesn't have enough ideas, or he's not capable enough to answer all these questions. Well, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to appear la'asid b'chol b'chinoisav. Then he's not going to come b'china achas. Then he's going to come with all his b'chinois. Us then poishet v'hoylech hakoyel. Then he's going to be able to be poishet everything. Says the chidah, an unbelievable thing, that Eliyahu HaNavi can appear with his guf, regular, but sometimes he appears bechina achas, sometimes he doesn't have all his bechinos. And depending on the bechinos of Eliyahu HaNavi, that determines the ability that Eliyahu HaNavi has to be tishbi yitaretz, kushyas ve'abayas. But I think, limadati midivrei achidah, dover achas. And that is that even when Eliyahu HaNavi appears with his guf, there's bechinos, there's different levels. Maybe the reason Eliyahu HaNavi is sometimes referred to as Eliyahu, and sometimes he's referred to as Ahu Saba, isn't merely the way he was dressed. Was he wearing a kapata? Oh, then he's Eliyahu. Did he just look like an ordinary elderly man? Then he's going to be Ahu Saba. It could be it's indicative of the Bechina. Who did he meet? Was Eliyahu HaNavi with this many Bechinas? Or is he with lesser Bechinas? But either way, I think there's three Yisoides as it relates to Eliyahu HaNavi. Number one, Eliyahu is a Navi. But at the same time, Eliyahu HaNavi is also a Chacham. And that's why sometimes you can't hear Torah from Eliyahu, but sometimes you can. That's number one. Number two, Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes appears as a guf, and sometimes he appears just as a neshama. What does that mean? Oh, he appears with his guf because Eliyahu HaNavi never died, but then again, Eliyahu, if he never died, so how is he sometimes in a Shama? The terrorist is the Chassam Sofer's big chiddush in his Shailos HaTshuvos Chassam Sofer Chelek Vav. Well, Eliyahu HaNavi never died in the conventional way, but at the same time, his guf did leave his neshama. But because he never had a conventional misa, the guf in the neshama could sometimes reemerge. So sometimes you have the guf of Eliyahu, and sometimes you have the Malach Eliyahu. And then you have this other idea that Eliyahu HaNavi appears in different bechinos. And not all Eliyahus and Shas have to be treated equally. They're different. And maybe that's the deeper understanding in why sometimes it's Eliyahu and sometimes it's Ahu Saba. Pashut, it's based on a physical, superficial appearance. Did Eliyahu HaNavi look like Eliyahu? Or did it look like Ahu Saba? Could be there's something deeper. I think we're going to have no choice but to leave the second Ha'ara for whenever.